Pisces are the fucking worst. You gotta be careful of them, Lauren.
Noted.
No, Aldo's daughter is born. But
yeah, are they Pisces, Aldo?
I'm
willing to take that risk.
Yeah, they are. Actually, they got birthdays this week. One is going to be 21, and then the other one,
holy
23.
Shit, they are.
Although I turned 21 a week from today. Why isn't this happening yet?
Both of them this week?
This week, man.
What do you schedule sex? What the fuck? How did that happen?
Well, one of them is a stepdaughter, so. So there was some magic in the air, but yeah. I
guess your wife is about to be.
Yeah, right.
I had a crush.
So Phil, now that Jay's gone, I could tell you this because I couldn't tell you before. You know that song, Stan, Eminem, Stan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the biggest fan you've ever lost. I rewrote it from you to Jay.
Are we recording that for Barbara?
That was the plan.
That would be fucking phenomenal, to be honest.
So I'll give you a little snippet. I covered my room in blue and orange paint. I even tattooed a number 6 up on my taint.
Bears fans, this is Bears Barroom Radio, and I am Aldo Gandia, and with me is a full cast of Bears Barroom analysts. They include Phil Atoshin and Lauren Cox, both of whom you must be following on Bears Hour Live. Their audio and video series is just taking off. Search for them on Twitter at Bears Hour Live. Also here are Shane Marsaw and Jose Cotto, our Bears Barroom analysts, columnists, fluffers, you name it, they do it. Fellas, I want to get straight into the topic of this week, and that is free agency. General manager Ryan Pace has signed 9 new Bears to contracts. The big name, of course, is quarterback Mike Glennon, and he re-signed 10 former Bears to new deals. And frankly, it's hard to find one single name in there to highlight unless we want to congratulate Pace on bringing back respectable special teams players. So what I'm dying to learn from each of you is, how do you think that Pace has done overall during free agency? And then we can dig into the specific names that you like, don't like, or just don't give a shit about. I'm going to spin my bottle here, and let's see. We begin with Lauren Cox. Lauren, talk to me a little bit about Ryan Pace's free agency pre-spring here. Do you like what he's done? Are you disappointed? Is there anything that you would have liked to have seen him done? Share your thoughts.
The more I've been thinking about Ryan Pace's free agency over these couple weeks, the more I start to question how much control he really did have over some of these free agents. I mean, obviously we were all disappointed that Alshon Jeffrey left the building and is now a Philadelphia Eagle. But you look at that 1-year deal with, I think it was only like $9 million base with incentives that can get him up to $14 million. And it sure looks to me like that's a wide receiver that didn't want to come back to the Chicago Bears. And another guy that they lost, Cornelius Washington, I know Phil's going to mention him by name. He signs with Detroit on a two-year, $3 million a year kind of deal. And these are all affordable contracts for a Chicago Bears team that was loaded with cap space. And I almost get the impression that these guys didn't necessarily want to be back on this 3-13 team that's got a head coach who could be on his way out after next year, a defensive coordinator that everyone and their mom knows that he didn't want to be here, and all the rumors were that he wants out, and a midget offensive coordinator that doesn't quite seem to know exactly what he's doing. So, you know, obviously they were able to sign, you know, some promising free agents. The only thing is, most of these guys are coming with some injury questions, and that's where I'm most concerned. I think he added plenty of talent at these positions, but guys like Kendall Wright, Marcus Wheaton, even Deion Sims, Prince Amukamara, they all have pasts of not being able to finish out 16-game seasons. I like the talent that the team has added, but I'm concerned about adding players with injury history to a roster that had 19 guys on IR last season.
Jose Cotto, people are still sending me messages about your last podcast appearance where you shared your top 10 players in this upcoming draft, and you mentioned a couple of guys who made your dick hard. Any of these free agents giving you a stiffy?
Is this why I got promoted to fluffer? Before we move on, I think Lauren owes Phil an apology because you said midget and they prefer little people.
Oh, that's my bad.
Yeah. All right. None of the free agents that were added really do much for me. I think Ryan Pace did a decent job at throwing some Band-Aids on the roster and throwing bodies at some of the needs so that you don't necessarily have to plug a bunch of holes via the draft and you can lean more towards a best player available approach. But none of these guys are, you know, surefire players that come in and give you a lot of confidence. I think Lauren makes a great point in pointing out that a lot of these guys have an injury history, and this has already been a problem for Ryan Pace's first overall draft pick, Kevin White, and for of course, a lot of the players on the roster last year. This roster was decimated with injury. Bringing in a bunch of guys who aren't necessarily durable only lead to more questions. And so going into this draft, I mean, he's really going to have to hit a home run in order to win me over. But right now, I just have a lot of questions.
Shane Marsaw, who's been writing his Marsaw's mailbag column at bearsbarroom.com. Marsaw, what do you think about the Bears free agency, and do you, in particular, do you like the Mike Glennon signing?
Well, before I say anything, Aldo, I just want to wish a happy March to you and your lovely wife.
I might get lucky later this month, huh?
You take a shower?
Oh, shit, maybe that's the problem.
No, you know, to start off with Glennon, I think we pretty well covered that on our last show. I've never been a big Mike Glennon fan, but I talked to Phil for a couple of minutes yesterday, or this morning actually, about a little bit about Glennon. And I think it's, you know, you have the philosophy out there. People think that you need to take a swing in the draft every single year at quarterback to, you know, try to catch lightning in a bottle, and I think that's essentially what he did this year with Mike Glennon. I mean, even the way that he set up the contract, really the only thing that the Bears are losing in this instance is money. I mean, I don't want to say just money, but still, it's not costing us draft pick compensation or anything. So I think he's taken a, you know, taken a big swing with the long-necked quarterback to kind of see if he shows some semblance of being a decent quarterback. And then if they invest in the draft this year, then maybe we can pawn Glennon off on some other team for some draft pick compensation. But just to kind of touch real quick on what Jose and Lauren said, I do agree. I am a little bit skeptical, like when you bring up the, you know, the free agent signings and Ryan Pace with the injury history that seems to be pretty prevalent in all of the guys that he does bring in. But at the same time, I do appreciate the guarded approach that he does take to free agency. I think, you know, just looking at his words at the combine and at the postseason presser with him talking, I think everybody out there thought that the Bears were just going to come out guns a-blazing and come away with two or three or even four big-time, big-money free agents. But, you know, he also did say that you have to watch out for the landmine. So I do appreciate that guarded approach. Even though he brought in all these guys, there's no franchise-altering deal that's going to stick with the Bears. You know, he's not signing that guy like he said that is going to, you know, you're going to regret and you're going to have to keep for a couple of years just to get that guaranteed money off the books. So, you know, you're bringing in some youthful guys that still have upside with the exception of B.A. Baracus, our new safety, right, Phil? Quentin Demps. But, no, I like I said, I appreciate the guarded approach, but Jose put it perfectly. This is all going to come down to the draft, and that's going to be, you know, where Mr. Pace is going to have to make his hay moving forward with the Bears.
Draft Dr. Phil, if you don't know, he's reopened his doctor's office. You can find that at bearsbarroom.com. It's his one-of-a-kind video series, and the first player that he's looking at in depth is Cameron Meredith. You can find that, again, at bearsbarroom.com. Phil, what do you make of this draft? I know that you tweeted out early when free agency started that you were disappointed that some of the big-name free agents were let go. Now that you've had time to reflect, what are your feelings?
I mean, the boys do what they do on the show, and they mix humor with reality. And I know I love to use that term a lot, but the reality is, I think you gotta sign your homegrown. And he let one walk out the door that was a pivotal piece, I believe, especially when you recognize what Mike Glennon is as a quarterback. He released Jay Cutler. I love some of the re-signings and Eric Kush and Connor Shaw, Daniel Brown, he re-signed. Bryce Callahan, he got back in the fold. So I like some of those re-signings of players, but he didn't hit the home runs that you wanted to see them with so much cap space, so much ammunition to fulfill the promises that he was saying to find ascending talent to create a championship run. And ultimately, when you're coming away with one-year deals on top of players that have injury history, it becomes some sort of fragmented future that is up in the air. And ultimately, as Shane has always said, free agency isn't going to win it, you know, but you do like to see a new boiler bought for the house when the bones of the house is good. And ultimately that boiler is going to be resting on Glennon's lap, because the pressure cooker that is Chicago is going to be there. I do think that some of these signings, the John Jenkins, the signing Prince Amukamara, can create competition and uplift that kind of secondary signing that you saw with Akeem Hicks. Jose and I talked a little bit prior to the show. He mentioned Jarrell Freeman signing was overlooked by Danny Trevathan, which was the marquee signing, Aldo, which ultimately led to injury and Freeman being the really, if he didn't get suspended, I know that's a big if, but really looking at the tape, this probably is the second best middle linebacker in football to our boy down in Carolina. This guy really stepped up and showcased, from what I look at in a linebacker, what he is. So those kind of signings that are pillar pieces can be found. But ultimately, when I look at what they did do, it really was hitting base hits. At least I wanted a couple doubles in there.
Shane, I want to go back to you because I know probably as much or maybe more so than anyone I know, you stay on top of what's happening with Bears news by checking tons of different sources. The Bears right now have about $22 million and some change in cap room, and they can add even more, maybe as much as over $10 million more if they cut a couple of more players. So they've got plenty of cap room available. But my question is this. Are you concerned that some players are saying no to the Chicago Bears because of the status of Coach John Fox, that perhaps they consider him a lame duck, or the fact that John Fox has only won 9 games in 2 seasons here in Chicago? Any concerns about free agents telling Ryan Pace no because of that?
Not, I mean, I guess there's going to be a little bit of concern there, Aldo, but the way that I look at it is, a lot of people, I mean, other than Alshon Jeffrey, I mean, a lot of people had a guy like Stephon Gilmore right up in the top, you know, 2 or top 3. And I mean, the Bears were obviously in play with him. And I think at the end of the day, Alshon Jeffrey and Stephon Gilmore if the Bears wanted to, you know, just throw caution to the wind and throw gobs of money their way. I think that they're going to overlook, you know, the instability, you know, the unstable future of John Fox in Chicago. But, I mean, I think that there is something to that. But at the end of the day, when you're talking free agency, I think it comes down to money, because if the Bears wanted to pay Stephon Gilmore more than the New England Patriots, I think Stephon Gilmore would have come here. I don't think a lot of these guys are, you know, I think it's a family first, you know, I'm going to cash in free agency, and then I'm going to worry about winning second, because a lot of these guys, it's their first time hitting that big market. I mean, a guy like Stephon Gilmore has that top 10 first round draft pick money, but he's really cashing in now on the free agent market in New England. But like I said, I think that's a little piece of it, Aldo, but I don't think it's a huge piece, because when it comes right down to it, like I said, money is going to be the determining factor. I know there's been some experts out there that think like schedule plays into a lot of free agency. Eric Lambert, thank you for that. But I don't think that plays into it at all whatsoever. But and if you guys don't like it, you guys can block me on Twitter. But money speaks more so than the instability of John Fox's future, I think.
So, for those who may not know, I think Shane is maybe making reference to the fact that somebody on Twitter thought that perhaps Marcus Wheaton wanted to sign with the Chicago Bears because the Pittsburgh Steelers were on the schedule for this year.
Somebody. No, his name's Eric Lambert. Somebody. Sports mockery. He hides all of his knowledge in his gap tooth, but I don't want to throw him under the bus too much.
Well, and perhaps Eric may have missed that he was not at all aware that the Steelers were on the schedule. At least when he was addressed that by reporters, he claimed, Wheaton did, that he wasn't even aware that the Steelers were going to play the Bears. And so anyway, we'll go on to another topic. Lauren, I want to bring you in here.
Shop at the Gap.
Lauren, I want to bring you in here and ask, one of the hats that you wear is working with Pro Football Focus, and that great organization does great grading and analytics of what's going on. They had guys like A.J. Bouye of the Texans and Stephon Gilmore graded higher than Prince Amukamara. Do you think that is a much bigger gap, and that perhaps Pace should have worked a little harder to sign those guys, or are you satisfied with the Amukamara signing the 1 year deal?
I think when healthy, I'm perfectly satisfied with the Amukamara. The big thing I come back to is the injuries. I mean, part of what makes especially a guy like A.J. Bouye so successful, and I think what helped get his grade up higher was the play of his teammates around him. I mean, he's graded individually for what he does in every situation, but if his teammates are putting him in more favorable situations, it does present him with more opportunities for being graded higher. And even a guy like Stephon Gilmore, he had some up and down this year. I don't think there was as big of a gap between Gilmore and Amukamara as there was with Bouye and the rest of the crowd. But I think Amukamara is a solid cornerback when healthy, and I think he's a great fit in this defense. I'm just not confident that he can play for 16 games in the scheme, and that's what concerns me more than anything.
Jose, let me bring you back in and ask, what do you think about this philosophy by Pace to go after these grade B, grade C, in some instances grade D free agents? Are you disappointed that he hasn't swung for the fences and maybe paid a little bit more than a competitor to sign a grade A free agent?
Well, I'm a little disappointed, because I feel like he shouldn't be overly aggressive in free agency, because he's right. I mean, that does set you back a few years, but calculated aggression is a good thing. I mean, when I talked about the Jarrell Freeman signing with Phil earlier, it's dismissed because the splash signing was Danny Trevathan and it was for a lot more money. But the Jarrell Freeman signing was significant in terms of money. I mean, he didn't come here as a 1 year prove it guy with, you know, $9 million guaranteed. it was significant money. So that showed me that he is capable of, you know, taking some calculated risk, and I'm a little disappointed that we didn't see that this offseason. But when you look at the crop, I mean, there wasn't all that much to choose from. I wasn't overly impressed with this free agent class. The thing I'm the most disappointed with is letting Alshon Jeffrey go, because we've seen this before on this roster where you've let talent walk and you've created more questions and more holes on your roster, and then you throw bodies at those positions and it doesn't necessarily work out, you know, such as the tight end situation. You traded Martellus Bennett because, you know, he was a malcontent, effort wasn't always there, and the coaching staff didn't want to deal with it, and, you know, now he's gone. Now, Alshon Jeffrey, it looks like he didn't want to be here anymore, but why? I mean, we have to ask ourselves why. You know, if the negotiations went a little better, or if they threw a number that he found reasonable at him prior to franchise tagging him last offseason, maybe he's still here. You know, but all of those losing seasons and the culture change and good players walking out the door, the fact that the general manager doesn't really negotiate with people in season, those are all negatives in my eyes. I mean, I think other players around the league are going to look at this and say, well, you know, Alshon Jeffrey was drafted by the organization and they didn't make a bigger effort to keep him in-house. And I don't think that helps the case when you're pursuing some of the bigger name free agents. So with a 3-13 record and with some of the things that went on this offseason, with some of the coaches leaving, the rumors about Vic Fangio not wanting to be here, John Fox, you know, it isn't a sure thing that he's going to be here over the next few years. Those are all things that would cause you to have to overpay to bring in a player that is concerned with winning championships. I mean, I do think it all does come down to money, like Shane said. You know, you can throw, you know, $100 million at someone and they're not going to say no, but, you know, given all those factors, you know, overall, I think, you know, he did a decent job in plugging some of the holes, and I'm not completely disappointed that he didn't pay AJ Bouye or I can't pronounce his last name, or Stephon Gilmore. I'm glad he didn't break the bank there, but the one big strike against him for me is not bringing back Alshon Jeffrey, and now you're throwing these ragtag wide receivers in, you know, Marcus Wheaton, and, you know, re-signing Josh Bellamy at the position. Kendall Wright, he had a 94 catch season, and I guess he could pan out, but he's another question mark. And although Alshon Jeffrey did come with injury questions and he did have the suspension last season, he's much more of a sure thing than anything that you brought in. And that's where I'm disappointed with Ryan Pace. I feel like, you know, if you're letting premium talent walk out the door and you're hinging on drafting premium talent, you're obviously gambling on that talent. The talent that's leaving is a proven commodity. You're bringing in an unproven commodity, and so really you're just turning over this soil over and over again. And so when are you going to grow this tree? I I'm not completely disappointed that he didn't break the bank and go out and get those players, but I'm still questioning whether or not he's going to be successful, and he's really going to have to win me over at the draft is what it boils down to.
And see, Phil, that's how you make a proper metaphor in the middle of a rant there. That was a great about turning the soil over and building a tree. That made so much more sense than the boiler in the house. I was still trying to figure that out.
Kid's never bought a house, so he doesn't know, Aldo.
The boiler was sitting on Mike Glennon's lap, and I really don't know what was going on.
Don't let Lauren pick on you, Phil. He's breaking down Pat Mahomes tape.
That's my McLennan moment. That's
Mahomes. That's my Mahomes.
Well, Phil, I want to know if you've got a really good metaphor for the loss of Cornelius Washington. I know he's somebody that you've been a big champion of. He had his best season with the Bears, finally a season where injuries weren't the main storyline for him. I thought he played well in 2016. I was disappointed to see him leave. What are your thoughts?
It's disappointing. Really is, just to use what you're saying, the energy of what you're saying, it reeks through me, because Lauren did a great job writing a piece for Bears Wire about this situation. Kind of was inspired by our film room over at Bears Hour Live on Leonard Floyd. Every one of his sacks but one, Cornelius Washington was on the field for, creating havoc, freeing up everything we talked about that would help Leonard Floyd. Here's a young football player, homegrown, once again, Aldo, that went to Detroit for pennies on the dollar when you look at his contract and you look at the amount of money that Ryan Pace and company have to spend. Therefore, watching him play on the tape, you know, if he was re-signed, this was one of the guys that I wanted to look at under the microscope for Bears Bar Room, because I felt like his pressures and his ability to disrupt passing was being overlooked universally from the media and the common folk fan of the Chicago Bears. When you put that, you know, microscope and these guys in here all well know this isn't just champion because I championed. This is what's showcasing on Sunday, is this young man is affecting the passing game. So how you let that leave is really disappointing, unless, you know, he just wanted to get the hell out of here. And that seems to be what Alshon Jeffrey was. And unfortunately, this young, big-time athletic defensive lineman finally hitting his stride is gone. And that, to me, is disappointing because you haven't replaced him. And now you have to replace him in the draft. Francois was in town, and he left for Seattle. Jose and I talked about him, as well as Lauren and Shane, all off the air here. Now, that was a kind of puzzle piece that would bring a legitimate attitude and toughness and experience to that five technique position that is missing so far when you look at this roster. So letting Washington go and not replacing him with the dead pool of talent at that position kind of forces your hand in the draft, Aldo, and that's unfortunate.
And Phil, let me keep it with you to ask about Logan Paulson.
No, I did talk about this. Let me seriously talk about this. I know there's a lot of criticism on Deion Sims, but here's a guy I love coming out of college at Michigan State. Big-time athlete, more consistent, because Kellen Davis, if you remember, was also a Michigan State tight end. Huge ceiling for that player. Just obviously just never could put it together. Deion Sims has a lot of athletic traits, not as high as the ceiling as Kellen Davis, but more consistent. And when you look at him versus Paulson, this is a 20-yard, 20, 30-yard improvement as far as if we were measuring performance, because Sims is a huge upgrade to what it is you were asking Paulson to do in the pass pro game. You saw a lot of that backside tight end becoming a left tackle for to help Leno on the backside. This guy can do those, sink his hips, and control at 275 pounds, almost 280, and really athletic for that position. So getting rid of a Paulson, who was kind of a paper champion, and getting a real upgrade there is a positive in Ryan Pace's corner. And letting Paulson go was a positive in my mind for Ryan Pace. So there's a couple negatives that we've been talking about. I'm going to put a feather in Pace's cap with Sims.
Shane, I want to go over to you, and looking at the list of guys who played last season and have still not been re-signed to a contract, a couple of names stand out to me as guys who probably are going to get some serious consideration, but maybe not until after the draft, and that's Sam Acho and Marquise Wilson. Do you kind of agree that those guys deserve consideration for another contract, another invitation to camp?
Yeah, I wouldn't have any problem with bringing either of the guys back. I know there's some detractors out there of Marquise Wilson, but you know, he's yet another guy that hasn't been able to stay healthy, and he has shown some promise when he is out there. And I mean, with the state that the Chicago Bears wide receiver depth chart is in, I mean, I would like to see him brought back in because he does have some of those traits that you do like. He's a guy that shows some speed. He's a long, you know, wide receiver, but it's just that injury bug always creeps up with him. And, you know, you bring up a guy like Sam Acho, Aldo, he's one of those guys, and I know we referred, like, all last year
to these guys as fabric type guys. Acho's never going to wow you with anything, but I think I really do think he's one of those guys behind the scenes that kind of rallies the troops, and he's a guy that's really good off the field, you know, for this young team to, you know, and these young defenders like Leonard Floyd. I think they're, you know, along with a guy like Willie Young, they're good for these young guys to look up to, you know, to help keep them on the straight and narrow. So if you're talking about like a 1 year deal to bring back Acho and Wilson, I have no issue with that at all. They re-signed CJ Wilson today, who, you know, he's no great kicks, but he's another body that's going to be out there. I mean, I don't think he played that bad. So, but he's a, you know, at a position of need, like Phil said, along the defensive line, when you do miss out on a guy like Cornelius Washington. But kind of, if I can real quick, Aldo, just to go off topic a little bit,
please,
you know,
do.
Cornelius Washington, Alshon Jeffrey, and Jay Cutler. Now, right off the top of my head, are those the only three remaining guys that weren't brought here by Pace?
Sherrick McManus is the only one left.
So that's the only one. So I said, you know, and I'm not defending the loss of Alshon. I don't, you know, I wasn't happy to lose Alshon. I totally understand it. But part of me wonders if this is, you know, is Ryan Pace going to go to the table to, you know, throw the extra cash at his guy? Alshon was never his guy. Alshon never seemed to be John Fox's guy. And I don't know, is this just them cutting bait with the last of them? I mean, you hate to do that with good players, and I know that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I wonder if that's their way of just saying, this is going to be my team moving forward. These are all my guys, you know, with the exception of Sherrick McManus, and that's how they're going. I don't know if there's anything to that. It probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but thought I'd just throw that out there for debate.
Well, I think
it's
a good topic of discussion, and to me, what it brings to mind is that I've been complaining that this whole rebuilding effort, which at first they didn't want to call it a rebuilding effort, and then
yep.
after they lost so many games, they started calling it a rebuilding effort. You know, it just seems that now we're in year three of the Ryan Pace era, and it seems like we're still stuck at the go position. Jose, let me bring you in. Do you have that sense also that, you know, there's been just when it comes to rebuilding, it seemed like the foundation, there were cracks in the foundation from the get-go. What do you think?
I think it hurts that you didn't go full rebuild from the beginning and you know, get your quarterback in here. I think you'd be, you know, 10 steps ahead of where you are now if you'd have gotten that quarterback in here. That's another thing that's underrated when you're trying to lure free agents to come play here. It seems like most of the marquee free agents want to go play where there's an established quarterback because they feel like they give them a better chance to make the playoffs and potentially win a championship. So had they went full rebuild from the beginning and you know, perhaps drafted a quarterback or made a trade, gotten rid of Jay Cutler or relegated him to a backup role and really started to turn over the roster, then you know they'd be much more far ahead. I think you hit the nail on the head a few shows ago when you said that the lack of direction is really what caused a lot of these issues and really disappointed you. And I have to agree with you. The fact that they didn't choose, you know, we're going full rebuild. It was like a half-assed, well, we're going to try and rebuild, but at the same time, we're going to try and win games here with, and it wasn't a very good approach.
Yeah, I feel like right now, you know, this team could win five games, and I might not be disappointed if they've got Deshaun Kizer or Deshaun Watson or one of the other top quarterbacks on the bench, having learned off of Glennon for a year, which is what I would have liked to have seen after year one or year two of the Pace era. Let me bring in Lauren here and get your thoughts on just your overall thoughts on the Ryan Pace rebuilding efforts.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad he made sure to keep you know, their franchise player, Sherrick McManus, on the roster from the last regime. That's just not someone you can afford to give up. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey, let him go. And Cornelius Washington, yeah, whatever. But Sherrick McManus is the guy that you have to make sure you're locked in on.
Kyle Long and Charles Leno are Emory guys, no?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think you're right. I think McManus is the only one that was from the Jerry Angelo, Lovey Smith era. Now that I think about it.
Kyle Long, Charles Leno.
One of the first trades that Phil Emery made, he traded Tyler Klutz, fullback, to Houston for Sherrick McManus. Yeah.
But he was the last one to play with Lovey Smith because McManus was here in 2012. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So, see, obviously, yeah, Jose's right. There's plenty of other Phil Emery guys here, but as far as Lovey Smith era, that's the McManus. But yeah, right. I agree that it's been a weird focus for this team. It like the going back and forth between rebuilding and not. You know, it seems like this year they were sort of all in on trying to win. And you know, that's why you saw a guy like Matt Barter. You know, they roll with a guy like Brian Hoyer for a while there because they kept saying, you know, he gives us the best chance to win games. And it was never about, you know, packing it in and trying to just play our young guys and look ahead to next year. It was always like, well, we're going to do it. But they came out so flat in those first two games. And after Jay Cutler went down too, they kind of were forced to switch to this. Well, I guess we're going back into rebuilding mode, and it's definitely a disappointing lack of clear direction. This team. I mean, we hear Ryan Pace come out. It's only been a year since he said we are building around Jay Cutler, and you go for a year ago. You're building around this guy, and now you completely decided about halfway through last season. You know, a 6 months into saying you're building around him, that you're moving on from him, and you're going with Hoyer and Barkley from then on. It's just been a weird play out. Like, how, at what point did the plan change, and did, were they ever actually building around Jay Cutler, or was that just what they were saying? I mean, it's really hard to feel super confident in, you know, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, but it's hard to feel like to take what Pace and Fox say at face value and say, yep, we're locked in, we're going for it with these guys. Cause you just don't know. Cause things have been changing. The direction hasn't been clear.
Phil, Jose makes the point about the quarterback position and how that can lure free agents to a team. And certainly over the years that Jay Cutler has been a member of the Chicago Bears, every top name free agent that came to the Bears mentioned Jay Cutler as part of the reason that they were coming to Chicago. Now, my question to you is, you've studied Mike Glennon over the last few weeks. Do you think that he can eventually step up his game and become a true number one quarterback, and that maybe next season and next season's free agent class, people will be looking at the Chicago Bears and saying they've got a pretty good starter in Mike Glennon, and the rookie that they're developing has promise too. That looks like a steady quarterback position, and I want to go play there. Do you think that's a possibility, Phil?
Well, according to Ian Rappaport, he got about 20 texts saying players were dying to play with Marcus Wheaton. So, I mean, you know what? If you perform, performance speaks louder than someone's neck or the way they look in a uniform. It really boils down to how you play on Sundays, and that's how you gain respect from the locker room and players throughout the National Football League. I mean, you're talking about the elite athletes, and hopefully, you know, Glennon can be what Ryan Pace envisions this, because I remember draft day when Glennon was coming out and talking to Shane Marsaw back and forth, him telling me that Tressman had huge interest in and Mike Glennon. He was right. You know, Tressman really liked the football player, and, you know, that fear of him being a Bear then, or being a high pick. I don't remember that year who I had my eyes set on, but I was concerned if they were going to turn the keys over to Mike Glennon, which ultimately didn't happen. And now we fast forward to now. So in watching the tape and doing the stuff with Lauren Cox, and seeing this guy, he's sneaky athletic, has a big arm, not the greatest big arm, but he can make every throw. He's not Cutler's arm or Roethlisberger, but it's a good arm. And he has an over-the-top delivery, but when you look at that offense in Tampa, there was a lot of reliance on big receiver and tight end. And we traded ours out of town, and he had Vincent Jackson over there, who is a free agent, by the way, who could be the guy texting Ian Rapoport. Who knows?
That's right.
So hopefully... Well,
didn't somebody say that Rapoport is really close with Glennon's agent?
I hadn't heard that.
Rapoport's close with every agent.
Yeah. But I thought that was out there, so they... You know,
I mean, he's no Aaron Lemming, but he is.
Well, he's not a true football analyst.
But I want to see what transpires on draft day. I think that's going to be the litmus test for what they feel Mike Glennon is to them. It's not going to be the end all be all, but it is going to be very telling, like you said, Aldo, in your hopes that they take the chance on a young passer that could perform behind or compete with Mike Glennon for the quarterback position. I feel as though this is a big unknown. So for me to answer that question, really now today is like a 50-50 shot. So how Glennon takes this position and runs with it in a city, in a town that is a pressure cooker, Lauren, which is very difficult. It's a boiling pot for people who love football. And that,
here we go.
That ultimately is going to be the decision of whether or not Mike Glennon is a one-year deal. Because I really believe that this is a test. It's not a commitment to Mike Glennon. It is, I believe in this guy, but so far. And that three-year deal is ultimately a test, a working test period for this guy to see if he could take the reins of this position that is nothing but polarizing in Chicago and has not. I don't care. You can go back to McMahon. He won because of that great defense, great passer, great player. But ultimately, he was driven out of town, played up north, for God's sake. So this position here is very difficult in Chicago, and it needs a special person. And I got to say this real quick. Mike Glennon so far has won this offseason for me. And what I want to see in a quarterback, he's taken a difficult situation, took it by the bull by the horns, and has really handled the media and his transition to Chicago very well.
They haven't started shredding him. Yeah, they haven't started shredding him after a three-interception game yet. We'll have to see how that goes. If he has like a three-game bad stretch like Jay Cutler, when they start talking about, you know, he's moping on the sideline, or he stuck his head in that hole behind the Gatorade cooler again, fucking ostrich after a fumble.
I'm pretty sure Glennon's son is vaccinated too, so that's a plus.
It will be for all the kids in that school district.
I have to ask you guys a question. So that contract is essentially a year-to-year deal. If they don't draft a quarterback in this draft, let's say, you know, they take a developmental quarterback in, you know, day three, a very developmental quarterback. Let's say the kid from Tennessee, Dobbs, in a late rounder as a priority free agent, and they get out of this deal next year because he didn't perform well. I mean, let's say he comes in here. I mean, it's a possibility. He comes in here and he turns the football over too much. Then what the hell happens?
I think you go after Jimmy Garoppolo in free agency.
Josh Allen, Wyoming.
I mean, do they get another year?
No, if Mike Glennon blows
that's up, they don't that's get another year. No, I don't think they're going to get another year. That's a good point, Jose.
Are you saying they, as in the whole entire...
Pace and Fox.
He meant Pace and Fox. I thought you were just talking about the position. What are they going to do? I thought you meant...
No, I mean, if they don't really address the quarterback position in the draft and they put all their eggs in the Mike Glennon basket and he plays like shit, and then they decide, well, we don't want to take on year two of this contract. And you're at square one again. And does everybody lose their job? I'm just going through that scenario in my head.
Well, here's a thought, Jose. If they choose not to go for a quarterback with the third pick and they instead go for somebody like my favorite guy, Jamal Adams, and Jamal Adams as a rookie shows that he is going to be a difference maker, a true superstar in the league, but that scenario that you painted that the Bears fail again because Glennon is a failure and so forth, which I don't think that's going to happen. I think the guy is Brian Hoyer. He's not going to throw interceptions. He's going to manage the game well. But a lot depends on how successful that draft pick is. And if then they get to the second round with the fourth pick, if all at the top four quarterbacks are gone, with Mahomes being listed as number four, then they almost get a escape out of jail card. Pace does, at least. I still think that there's a scenario here where Fox could be gone at the end of 2017, but Pace stays around. But my point is what happens with that third pick? It's got to be the best draft pick he's made in his career.
That's a lot of pressure. Well, yeah, for my dollar, I mean, I'd bet that Glennon is going to have a decent season just based on what I've seen. And as far as the fan in me, I mean, I really want him to succeed, obviously. But I'm just thinking if he passes on a quarterback at three, and there's another one on the board in the second round, and he passes again. I mean, that's where I'm thinking, you know, does he get to keep his job? But who the hell knows? I don't know. I was just thinking out loud.
Oh, it's a really good point. And let me bring Shane in here, because in his mailbag, he did write that I think Glennon is Hoyer with a bigger arm, and you also write that he's got that interior offensive line, which will allow him to step up in the pocket, something that he needs based on what you've seen on tape. He's got the running back. He's got some speed at wide receiver. He's got a deep tight end depth chart. That's what you wrote. And I agree with all of that. What is the one concerning thing about what Glennon doesn't have, at least I don't think he does, maybe I'm wrong, is a true touchdown maker in that red zone. And maybe Zach Miller is the guy, but I think he needs somebody like a Vincent Jackson. I think he needs that big, tall receiver. Maybe Cameron Meredith is the guy, Phil, based on what I learned from you from your film study. But it just seems like he needs a reliable target so that he can progress from that Brian Hoyer to a better Brian Hoyer, one that delivers points. What do you think, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, just to bounce off on my mailbag, I think what I said was, I think at his worst, he's Brian Hoyer.
That's exactly what you said, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he provides you more upside, and that was that just because of the unknown that comes with him, but he does have the bigger arm. You know, he's not mobile just like Hoyer isn't, but I think he does give you a much bigger upside, and I think everybody here could agree with that, but you're also paying a lot more money for that unknown.
I don't know. I don't trust anything that comes out of that mailbag. I heard you keep anal beads in there, bro.
Where else are you going to store them?
Hey, 40, hey, you better put a stamp on those, Jose. But no, you know, it's, I think where are more touchdowns going to come from, Aldo? I think it's going to come from, you know, more touchdowns are going to come from Jordan Howard. You know, Deion Sims had, I don't have the numbers right here in front of me. I think did he have around six touchdowns this year in Miami? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
I thought it was career. Was
six gotta touchdowns. Hope Kevin White comes
Kevin
back.
White. Well,
Kevin yeah. White.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I remember him.
He's got it. He's yeah. gotta be the answer. I mean,
the guy
let's
still works here.
Fuck you, man.
But I think it's gonna be a kind of a committee approach. And I mean, I don't want to bash on Alshon Jeffrey, but Alshon Jeffrey had two touchdowns last year. Was that obviously
Ryan Hoyer?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I know for sure he would have had a third if Brian Hoyer would have just lobbed the ball to him.
Oh, don't tell Ben Albright that. That had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, really.
But, the frame rate of the velocity on that throw was. Yeah.
But
fucking wrong.
But no, it's a, and I think what you brought up is a great point. And I think I had mentioned this to Phil a couple of weeks ago, Aldo. I know this is me getting away from the Glennon thing a little bit, but if you're investing the money into Glennon for what is essentially a 1 year deal, and you're drafting your quarterback either at number three or, I don't think that there's any shot one of these top four quarterbacks lasts around two. Now that's me. I think you can make a legitimate case that all four of these guys are gone in the top 15. Now that's me. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to have to be in the business of trading up to secure one of these guys. And like you said, if you have Glennon and then a rookie quarterback in tow, I think that buys the coaching staff in the front office more time, like you said. And I think you got to kind of look at that too. Another thing that nobody's brought up, I know everybody was talking there about what do you do next year. You know, there, we have some more guys coming out in the 2018 draft, but what's going to happen to Kirk Cousins? Is Washington going to franchise him a third time? But it looks like if he does have the ability to leave, he may go to San Francisco. What's going to happen with Jimmy Garoppolo if New England goes out and blows the doors in and Tom Brady is healthy for another 16? Is Jimmy Garoppolo going to be a free agent? And is that what Pace is waiting for? It's going to be very interesting to see what happens, because there's a lot of avenues that this can go. But if it's me, and I know a lot of people don't agree with it, if I'm sold on any of these quarterbacks, you gotta take Deshaun Kaiser or Deshaun Watson. Those are my top two in that order. You have to find a way by a trade down a little bit, or maybe even two trade downs to secure one of these guys. Mm-hmm. Because Ryan Pace talked about the long-term success, you know, to building the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears invested financially in Mike Glennon, and now they have to invest in the quarterback in the draft to give them the best chance moving forward for them.
Lauren, have you done any scenarios where you see a quarterback being available to the Bears, a quality quarterback in this draft, after the number three pick, like in the second round or trading down? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I haven't worked through like specific scenarios, but it's not, I kind of go back and forth on this, because I'm with everyone else in the sense that I don't buy into any of this. This is a weak quarterback draft class, and I think all four of these guys have a lot of potential as NFL quarterbacks, but I wonder how much of that talk comes, I mean, obviously most of it's from the media, but a lot of these guys in the media talk to their people. You know, a guy like Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, when they don't mock quarterbacks to specific teams, and, you know, they let a lot of guys fall off. I think one of McShay's more recent ones didn't have a QB in the top 10. They're not doing that just because they don't like any of these quarterbacks. I mean, they're hearing things from teams about how they like quarterbacks. So I look back at, like, the 2013 draft. That was the E.J. Manuel, Geno Smith, Mike Glennon draft. Manuel was the only quarterback that went in that first round. He went 16th overall to the Buffalo Bills. The next one was Geno at 39 to the Jets, and then Glennon was the third one in the third round. So I don't think this class is that bad. I would definitely consider all four of these quarterbacks in the first round. But I struggle to get a feeling of whether NFL teams agree with that or not. I really don't know at this point. It's the narrative is not matching the tape for me right now, and I just question how much of that narrative is being reflected through the NFL teams and how much of it's just media people making poor assumptions about these quarterbacks.
Phil, what are your thoughts? I know you're a big Deshaun Watson fan. Would you be comfortable with the Bears taking him at three and bypassing some of the defensive players that are there? And then, you know, I don't know. But what are your thoughts? Do you definitely want to see Deshaun Watson on this team, don't you?
I've been a Bears fan my whole life. I've
poor bastard.
Cue the music.
Someone cue the violins here. There's something innate in a quarterback that you can't measure on tape alone. There's a level of just a winner's disposition that this player has that can be everything that you want your quarterback to be. The face of the franchise, they say all the time. This is what I see in this young man. I just can't express this enough. I've talked about all the past failures. I loved Jim Harbaugh as the Chicago Bears quarterback as a kid. I just thought the world of him. He had his best success in Indianapolis, Captain Comeback. It's something about this city, this organization, that needs a personality to change this. And I believe, fans, with my hands going like Bill Clinton, a politician.
Oh, God.
Deshaun Watson is the answer at three to turn this negative into a positive at the quarterback position. You know exactly how I felt about Jay Cutler. This guy is the complete persona opposite of Jay when it comes to what he does to the media, on the field, to the fans. This is a superstar.
And oh, he's a winner.
He's a winner. He's a winner on and off the field. And he is somebody that could change the whole texture of this franchise. And ultimately, if you have a starting offensive guard being the face of your franchise, and I love Kyle Long, and you all know I think it should be a tackle and that whole nine, but he is right now the face of your franchise because of his persona. This guy would take the whole show, and that's why – and it's – I haven't even touched the talent that I know – you guys all know that I can break it down. I've done the tape study. I've made a highlight reel of him. Number one quarterback. I am so impressed with this football player, and I feel as though his coach is right. There's some sort of Michael Jordan-esque vibe to him. I wouldn't say he's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. That's not what I'm saying, trait-wise. But he is a winner on and off the field, and I think that is needed as a remedy to what is going on in Chicago, Aldo.
All right, let me go around the table here. And
hey, Aldo, can I say something real quick?
Jump in, brother.
Kind of alluding to that.
Sure.
You know, listening to everybody talk about these quarterbacks, and Phil and I talked about this earlier today, are these guys getting short-sold in, you know, in the media and by these quote-unquote experts as being a down draft class just because they're not ready to start week one?
Exactly. Yep.
I mean, do you see the flawed thinking in that?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I go back to what Ryan Pace said. This is about the long-term success of the Chicago Bears. And maybe Solomon Thomas comes right in and is a superstar for us. Maybe it's Jamal Adams. Maybe it's Malik Hooker. But if it's this... I mean, I just think it's a huge mistake by the media and by the Mel Kuypers of the world and Todd McShays and Eric Lamberts, all these experts. I think it's a huge mistake for them to say that this is a bad draft class just because they're not able to start week one. I mean, nobody expected Carson Wentz he wasn't expected to come in and start week one. Jared Goff did not start week one, but Phil really hit it perfectly. And as big of a Deshaun Kaiser
fan... he's never heard before.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about having the correct boiler.
Or in Aaron Lemmy's case, boil.
Yes. You're gonna get a direct message like Jose did.
Yeah, Aldo, you want to edit that one out, please?
No,
but I think... You know, I understand the Bears' rich tradition in defense and everybody, but why have we sucked ass? Because we've never had the quarterback. You know, I mean, we had Jay Cutler. They didn't do it right. And this goes back to what I said earlier about Ryan Pace's guys. if he drafts Deshaun Kizer or Deshaun Watson or Mitchell Trubisky or Patrick Mahomes in the first round, those are going to be his guys. I don't care what Mike Glennon does. Mike Glennon is going to be the trade chip no matter what. If you're drafting these guys in the first round, these guys aren't going to be the trade pieces in a year or in 2 years. It's going to be Mike Glennon that's going to be shipped off. If Ryan Pace deems one of these guys worthy to go in the first round, where you can, another thing is, Aldo, why do you want to wait for these guys at the top of the second round when you can essentially you buy yourself an extra year by trading back up into the first round to secure one of these guys? You get that fifth year option, which is huge when you're talking about quarterbacks. I mean, especially in this day and age when, money and stuff like that. But if you're deeming one of these guys worthy of first round, it I know nobody wants to hear it, but Phil's right. If you have your guy, you gotta get your quarterback. It doesn't matter where it is, you get him and you call it a day and you turn the page and you start building from there. You get the quarterback right, it's going to make everything else easier. If you get the quarterback wrong, they're not going to be here, just like they're not going to be here if they don't attempt to get the quarterback. Everybody's going to be flushed out of here. So,
well, I want to bring in Jose here because...
Can I say one thing?
Sure, go ahead.
About Watson. One quick thing, okay. Jose. I'm sorry. Me and Jose and Lauren actually were talking. I'm sorry we keep saying this, but that's how we roll, people. We're friends on and off this show, and we try to illuminate our knowledge for one another. When I talk about,
me, I hate you guys.
When I talk about Watson, let's talk about one thing, and these guys really brought it up. Watson went against Ohio State. They have two, maybe three, top shelf defensive backs, first round talents. Deshaun Watson tore them a new asshole. This kind of stuff gets overlooked. He went up against Alabama twice. First round talents all up and down the board. Allen was talked about like he's the first overall pick early in the season. Tore him up. That's got to count for something for people. So the El Jefes of the world and the people out there that continuously battle back and forth, Jose Cotto and Shane Marsaw and Lauren aren't sitting on their asses just reading what NFL draft scouts top 50 has changed today. They're actually doing the homework and watching the tape and recognizing that Malik Hooker could be a top three pick in this draft. And when you watch a quarterback go against top talent and he's successful, that ultimately puts check marks in the boxes. I just want to make sure I got that in there.
I'm glad you did. And the reason I want to bring Jose in here is because in our last podcast, I think he referenced this, and it's been talked about in previous shows too. Jose, you mentioned in the last show that there's, and I'm paraphrasing here, that there's a lack of synchronicity with what's going on with the Bears' position because you draft a quarterback high. Is Dow Loggins and this coaching staff, are they going to be here in 2 or 3 years when the guy is ready to mature and be a true number one quarterback? Or you're just putting the guy in a really bad position to progress because he's going to have to learn a new offensive system after his rookie year or after his sophomore year and so forth. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to expand on that.
So, I mean, that really hinges on which one of the quarterbacks we're talking about in my eyes, because obviously some of them are a little further away than others from seeing an NFL field and being prepared to face NFL defenses. And that's another aspect of quarterback evaluation that just gets completely dismissed. And it bothers me because it's so important. Where a quarterback goes and what situation they go into is – almost as important as how much talent they have and what traits they possess. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation earlier with Phil where we were talking about David Carr. And, I mean, I don't think you can find one NFL personnel person that can convince me that if, David Carr goes to a different situation, he couldn't have been a franchise NFL quarterback. He had everything that you look for in the position, but unfortunately he went into a situation where he had to start right away. He was sacked. He broke the NFL sack record, or a quarterback being sacked, you know, several times, broke his own record. And of course that derailed his career, and he never got off the ground, figuratively or literally. And, you know, that's the story to this day. So a quarterback coming here, it has to be the right quarterback for this situation. If the one quarterback that we spoke about in that scenario on our previous podcast was Pat Mahomes, and Pat Mahomes is, in my eyes, is further away from seeing the field than Deshaun Watson or Deshaun Kizer in my eyes. Sure. And because of that, if you're riding with Mike Glennon for, you know, 1 year or 2 years, and by the time Pat Mahomes is ready to play, if Mike Glennon hasn't been as successful as you hope, and your coaching staff hasn't been as successful as you hope, then they're likely fired. And, you know, once he's learned the NFL game and is ready to come in, now he has to learn a completely new offense before he's even stepped on an NFL field. And of course, that's a huge disadvantage, and you're putting him in a position to fail. You're setting him up for failure. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about Deshaun Watson, I think he comes in here and is ready to learn year one and step in year one if needed with a few games under his belt. I think with an offseason and, you know, sitting on the bench learning behind a veteran, he'd have an opportunity to come in here. If, let's say, an injury occurred, he'd be ready to go year one in my eyes. I think he possesses enough talent, and it seems like he has enough upstairs to where he'd be able to come in and play. So it really hinges on the quarterback and the situation, and that's such a big part of this equation. I mean, it's going to be all about getting the right person into this situation. And those are the factors that we really can't measure. I mean, Dak Prescott, he wasn't – I can't think of anybody who had him listed as their top quarterback last season. He goes into a perfect situation where mm-hmm. he goes to a team that has a great offensive line. They hit a home run with their first-round pick and a great running back there, and he takes all the pressure off of this young kid. And, of course, they have a good weapon outside with Dez Bryant. He has a good slot receiver. He has a tight end in place that's a safety blanket. He's a veteran that understands how to get open. And so, of course, all these things made this kid's job easier. You're talking about Chicago. You don't have a ton of weapons right now, so it has to be a player that can elevate your offense. I mean, so a developmental player really would be at a disadvantage, you know, like I said, Aldo, because, you know, it's really going to hinge on whether or not your staff is in place. If he's the future of your franchise, you'd better pray that this staff is still here, because you don't want him learning multiple offenses in just a short amount of time while he's learning the NFL game.
How can I pray that after I've been asking God to fire their ass for the last 2 years?
Well, yeah, there you go.
God's going to be like, make up your mind.
One more thing about this coaching staff. With Alshon Jeffrey leaving, and with some of the trades that happened, with trading Martellus Bennett, trading Brandon Marshall because of, you know, personality issues, and because of, you know, the staff obviously didn't want to coach them because they were seen as players that were quote unquote not good for the locker room. And I think we can agree to a certain extent that, you know, that those things were a problem. But I look at these 1 year deals, and, you know, they're called prove it deals. So you're using the length of this contract to get this player motivated and to get this player to play well. And then with these other players that they released, I guess the coaching staff feels that they couldn't motivate them. And isn't that your job? I mean, if you have to motivate players by hanging their contract over their head, like you did with Alshon Jeffrey, then you don't have the right coaches in place. And that's a Ryan Pace failure. And we have to call it what it is. I know that a lot of fans don't want to hear that. It's seen as negative, and anything that you say is that it's critical is wrong, and until you're right. But that's the way I see it.
I totally agree, Jose. Good point.
Well, and bringing Shane's mailbag back in, I think it was a couple of columns ago where you were asked a question about the high turnover of players that the Bears have faced. I think more than any other NFL team, the Bears have signed and released more players than anyone else. That has worked for some teams in the past, as you mentioned in your mailbag. The Seattle Seahawks are a prime example. In their first couple of years under their GM, John Schneider, they went through a massive revolving door or in-out, however you want to phrase it, of their roster, and they finally clicked. But for the Bears, it just, to me, it seems like there isn't any continuity going on here, especially after year three. But Shane, what are your thoughts about what Jose just said?
No, I agree. And I think, you know, but at the same time, if you look through all of free agency, I think it was Albert Breer that put out a tweet. I don't have it right here in front of me exactly, but I think out of 155 signings, there was only like 22 of them that carried any guaranteed money beyond 2018. So I think that, you know, this may be something that the NFL as a whole is really, you know, moving to. But it's, you know, another thing is you got to look at is none of this is going to be built through free agency. You know, you're going to pick and choose, and you want to get your superstars in the draft. And you brought up Seattle, Aldo. You know, nothing started clicking with Seattle until they made the free agent commitment to Matt Flynn and then invested in a rookie quarterback in Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was in the third round, but still, just because they dumped money into a lot of free agent money into Matt Flynn, it didn't deter them from investing into a quarterback that they believed in the third round. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it all comes back to quarterback. But what Jose is saying, it's absolutely right. You look at most, if not all, of the successful quarterbacks, they have that continuity. You know, they have that stable environment around them with the coaching staff where they can stay in the same offense. You know, you look at Aaron Rodgers, you look at Tom Brady, you look at, you know, hopefully a young guy, as much as I hate the Philadelphia Eagles, but you look at a young guy like Carson Wentz, you know, these young teams like that are going to have the stable environment around them that's going to let them, you know, build year to year while they don't have to learn a new playbook. But it's a spider web of ineptitude, and you just got to pick the right, tunnel to get there. But to me, it's none of this is going to change until the Bears invest big time in the quarterback position, not just in free agency. If you believe in your guy, I don't care where you draft him, you go get him and see what you got, because you're not going to have any type of a team with a journeyman quarterback or a Brian Hoyer type. You know, it's not going to happen. And Jamal Adams isn't going to lead your team to the Super Bowl, just like Solomon Thomas is not going to, if you believe. But it's all about believing in the quarterback. If Ryan Pace believes in one of these guys, I don't risk it at all. You have the third draft pick for a reason. That's why quarterback territory is at the top of the draft. That's where you get your quarterbacks that are most of the time successful.
All right. Let me, to conclude the show, what I'd like to do is ask you guys a question, and then I'm going to ask you this question again after the draft, after training camp, and then after the 2017 season. I want to get each of your feeling on the team, and basically get your temperature of where your level of hope is right now. I want to start with Phil. Basically, my question, Phil, is what's your temperature like? Are you hopeful right now? Are you concerned? Are you doubtful? Do you think, do you want to take a wait and see approach to this? What's your temperature with this team right now?
I'm always an optimist, and that's par for the course of being a Bears follower, fan, analyst, whatever you're going to categorize me as. But I feel like there's hope because of Jordan Howard and the running game. And hopefully, as Jose and Shane were talking about it, Glennon could come in here and do the distribution. The distribution of the ball, the football, to the playmakers, and get it into the end zone. Because I think where the hype around Hoyer was based on yards, it always comes down to points. And I feel as though they didn't stay conservative and re-signing a Brian Hoyer who they talked to and could have, according to the people I spoke to. He wanted to stay here. They ultimately decided to roll with pace, as Shane said, and take that approach to getting better at what it is that they want to do in the philosophy of the Dowell Loggins offense. And, you know, it was his first year as a Bears offensive coordinator. The personnel is now folding towards them because they're another year here, and him being the play caller for his second year, as Gase was, you know, the first year you saw success. Now let's see how you go forward with this football team with a draft, because I think that is going to be the ultimate story for this, Aldo, to be perfectly, because the book is incomplete right now, but I'm optimistic about what Mike Glennon could bring to the table and how this team is being built right now.
All right, let's take the thermometer out of Phil's mouth and put it into Lauren's mouth.
Yeah, I was
going to
say ass.
But, yeah. I was going to save the ass for Shane. And then by the time we get to Jose, yeah, it's up his pee-pee or something. Anyway.
Hit him with the high.
Lauren, what's the temperature like? How are you feeling about this Bears team right now?
I was going to say, if there's any ass around here that I want, it's going to have Gandhi at the end of it. So,
I can't save you.
But yeah, but as Aldo's temperature rises here, mine.
I thought you were actually talking about Aldo.
Hey, no, it's close, if that's as close as I can get, you know?
Should have never sent him a picture of my daughter.
He's going to tell me the gray pubes do exist.
Confirmed. Aldo, just put a Lamar Houston jersey on you. He'll make you happy.
There you go.
But as far as the temperature of this team, I, like Phil, I want to be optimistic about it, but it's hard for me to sit here and look at this roster and feel confident in this being a team that's going to drastically improve from what we've seen the first two seasons of John Fox. I mean, this doesn't look like a playoff roster right now on March 20th. And maybe after the NFL draft, if you throw a Deshaun Watson in there with the third overall pick, I'm going to feel a lot more confident about at least the long-term future of this team, because I feel like the solution for the next 5-10 years is on the roster at the quarterback position, whereas right now I don't necessarily think that's true. And there aren't a lot of guys across the roster that I feel like, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that like long-term you have cornerstone pieces at the most critical positions. I mean, the defense is a little bit of a different story in the front seven, but even in that secondary, I don't feel like there are a lot of lockdown, you know, we're rolling with these guys for a while kind of players. And same thing on the offense, outside of that offensive line in the interior, there's just, and of course, Jordan Howard, it's hard to feel super confident in this team, especially, you know, throw on a coaching staff that we all were calling to be fired by the end of the year. You know, there's talent on this roster, and a really good coaching staff could probably bring these guys together, get all these guys motivated on their one-year deals and play their hearts out as they try and get a new contract and push this team to exceed expectations. But it's sort of the combination of perhaps an underwhelming roster and an underwhelming coaching staff that just is not a formula for a lot of success in 2017, at least the way it sits now.
Shane Marsaw, your temperature.
This thermometer tastes like shit.
It's Nutella.
I fall in line with Phil. I'm always the optimist. I mean, I'm the guy that sat there and watched, you know, Jonathan Quinn quarterback my favorite team in 2004. I finished watching the games in the fourth quarter, you know, that year. And, you know, Craig Krenzel came in and won a game for us, and I watched that. But, no, I mean, you know, you hear a lot of doom and gloom with the Chicago Bears, but at the same time, I still think that the talent, there's not enough talent here, obviously, but I still think some of the talent here is kind of undersold, even on the national scale. I don't think the cupboards are bare by any means.
I think a lot of it, unfortunately, comes down to these guys having to stay healthy, obviously. But I do think that there is talent here. And to me, like I said, I hate to keep on repeating myself like I do most of the time, but you got to get the quarterback in here and make that huge investment. Because if you go into the season with Mike Glennon and a guy like, you know, Nathan Peterman or Davis Webb, or, you know, a later, you know, guy in the third or fourth round like Brad Kaya. Yeah, I think it's just more of the same old Chicago Bears. And that's what we've seen, you know, over decades and decades and decades. And I think this is why you see so many of the fans. And I know that you want to, like I said, you want to build the strong defense. And especially in Chicago, I think a lot of the fans think that, you know, the defense is going to take us all the way to the Super Bowl. Well,
it won like you I said, one chip. I don't understand that whole philosophy.
Exactly. And it's going to help you. And yes, it will help your quarterback. But in today's day and age, you have to have that guy under center. It's going to, you draft a quarterback, and you know what, Aldo, if you draft Kaiser or Watson or any of these guys and they go out and, you know, you bring Deshaun Watson in, if Mike Glennon is ineffective and he goes out and has a 3-touchdown game and he wins in Lambeau 24-17, there's not a Bears fan on the planet that's going to give two shits that the Bears drafted Deshaun Watson at number 3. And, you know, while Jamal Adams or Solomon Thomas is someplace else, it's going to breathe life into this franchise. Maybe it won't breathe life into it long term, but you have to take your swing while you have it. We're up here for a reason. The Bears have Mike Glennon and Connor Friggin Shaw at quarterback in their depth chart. You know, you look over the Bears depth chart, Phil made a point that the Bears haven't invested in the defensive line. So it kind of points to where you're going to be going in the draft. Well, we also, like I just said, we have Glennon and Connor Friggin Shaw at quarterback. So to me, it kind of points that the Bears are going to be investing in a quarterback to pair with Mike Glennon. And hey, you got your bat, take the swing while you have it. That's all I'm going to say.
Jose Cotto, you want to take that thermometer and stick it up wherever you'd like to stick it and share your opinion?
Well, first, Jose, can you take that bat that Shane was just talking about? Make sure Aldo doesn't get it.
I'm bringing that one to Wisconsin with me next week when I see you.
The nail in the end.
Right, nails.
Jesus, Jose, don't stick that bat in there. Jesus, I want that bat.
Well, thermometer, I mean, it's like dropping a hot dog down a hallway. So shit. What's the fucking question?
Yeah, I forgot.
All this talk about fucking sticking things in orifices, I'm all distracted now.
That's a new sound drop. What's the fucking question?
Yeah, really. I just want to get your feeling on where you think the team is right now. Are you feeling positive? Are you feeling negative?
Feelings. Okay, let's talk about
feelings.
My
feelings.
Yes. I'm skeptical. See, I'm not like, you know, when you're 20 years old and you're like Lauren, you know, every chick you meet is the one, and everything's good. It's all rosy and. So somebody gives you the clap, and then
Gandhi's daughters wouldn't do that to me.
Then you become a little more skeptical, and you start to everybody's a suspect until they prove otherwise. So I'm kind of in wait and see mode with this team. I think Lauren did a great job of kind of putting my feelings into words, and I look over this roster, and I don't see a lot of premier players. You know, there's a handful of guys who were solid players, and there's a couple of stars in Jordan Howard, you know, Kyle Long, Leonard Floyd is a potential star, Jarrell Freeman, is a good player and one of the top linebackers in the NFL in my eyes. But comparatively speaking, when you look at other rosters across the NFL, I think there's more star power. So I think we tend to be a little more optimistic about some of the guys in-house, you know, being that we're fans, we want them to be successful. But I'm not very optimistic when I look over the roster, especially with the fact that a lot of these guys aren't under contract for long, and so there's going to be even more roster turnover. So in terms of my temperature for the 2017 Bears, my expectations aren't very high. You know, obviously that could change after the draft. You know, I could feel better about the team's future, but in terms of how many games they win this year and how I view their future right now, honestly, I'm not going to get my hopes up. I'm not as optimistic as Shane or as Phil, and optimistic is a nice word for stupid. So,
hey, undersell and overperform, Jose, right?
Yeah, I hope that they exceed my expectations, man. I'm not saying that I think that they're going to dwell in the basement, because, I mean, with health, the team could be in contention, you know, in a few more games than they were last year and pull a few more of those out. But I'm not going to sit here and pound the table and say that, you know, Cam Meredith is the next big thing and Mike Glennon's going to take us to the Super Bowl and, you know, the Bears and all that bullshit that the super fans are going to sell you.
That's because you live up in Connecticut, man. That's your problem.
All right. There's something in the water over there that makes you guys fucking stupid and gives you amnesia. You forget what happened last week. We lost 52-0, but we're going to fucking kill the Patriots this week.
What just happened?
Give Mark Trestman a chance. Give Mark Trestman a chance, damn it.
How far did you shove that bat up there, Jose?
Damn, it is all the way up. I got to tell you this. I'm the eternal optimist, but I'm also the fan who forever bitches about the team and complains about them. So that's sort of where I'm at. I'm hopeful, but I'm also realistic to know that there's still a lot of effing problems with this team. I do look at this roster, and I do see hope, and primarily that hope is because of Ryan Pace's drafts. I mean, there's no doubt that Leonard Floyd and Cody Whitehair are players. And then when you look at the rest of those draft picks of that draft, Jordan Howard, he's an all-pro caliber player, drafted in the fifth round. Then the other guys, Deion Bush, DeAndre Hall, there's hope for those guys. There's hope for Nick Kwiatkowski. There's even hope for Daniel Braverman, the seventh round draft pick. He could be the slot receiver, starting slot receiver for the Chicago Bears. He's got that much talent. And then even in the 2015 draft, you got Kevin White. There's still hope for him. Eddie Goldman, we know he's a player. Hironas Garasu, hopefully he's going to stay injury-free and deliver on his promise. There's still hope for Jeremy Langford. Adrian Amos, he's not going to be a top-flight safety, but he can be the third safety on this team. So there's hope in this roster. And so another solid draft, and all of a sudden things can turn around more quickly than we thought. But at the same time, I think that the huge mistake that Ryan Pace made was hiring John Fox as the coach. Fox is untrustworthy. He's not a leader of men. And if Adam Gase were the head coach going into his third year right now, I bet you that Jay Cutler would still be the quarterback of this team. Jay Cutler would have played much better in 2016 and maybe have been injury-free because he would have been given better protection schemes than what Dow Loggins gave Jay. And the whole complexion of this team just would have been much better than what John Fox brought to this team. So the big mistake, the big downer for me is that John Fox is a part of the Chicago Bears organization. But hopefully he'll prove me wrong, because I'm that eternal optimist. Guys?
Hey, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
What the fuck do you know about cooking? You said in the press box eating hot dogs.
Sorry, coach.
Show me.
We got two in there, you guys.
Somebody give him CPR. I think we're losing the coach.
hey, Coach Fox, do we have a plan at quarterback this year?
You have a plan? We don't have a plan.
We're going, we don't need a plan.
All right, guys, stick around for our post-show laughs. But this is the official end of the show. Remember to always drink responsibly and bear down.
Shop at the Gap and smoke Newports.
My goodness.
Oh.
I think you perforated my eardrum. Okay.
Yeah, what do you, that phone from the jail cell is not working properly this week.
It's this new stinky microphone.
Show me.
I went to Missouri once.
Show me.
That's hilarious.
That wasn't the question, Coach Fox.
How much better do you feel about this team if after day one, Kaiser or Watson is a member of the Bears?
Then at least you have a plan.